Hello and welcome to the First Prez Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today we celebrate our sanctuary renovation and rededicate it for worship. As we notice this place with gratitude, Pastor Clint Tolbert shows in 1 Corinthians 3 verses 10 to 17 that God dwells within the people, not the four walls. Let's hear today's message.
The passage you just heard read put focus on Jesus and the disciples as they moved through the temple. They were noticing different things. As you entered into this space, after 6 months of being away, you noticed certain things. I wonder what they are. You noticed things that haven't changed much. You noticed some things that have. I didn't necessarily have this one on my outline, but it occurred to me that many of you, especially the kids, noticed the way I'm dressed. One of them said, "Why are you wearing a dress?" Yeah, I don't often wear vestments, but I thought if there's ever an occasion, it would be this, right? You entered into the space and noticed some things that haven't changed much, I hope, and I hope you agree that's great. When I've walked in the past week, people have noticed how bright it is. It's always been bright, and it somehow seems brighter still, and we're grateful for that. Some of you noticed the color. It didn't change. In fact, we custom matched the color of the old carpet to the new color. Thank you. Right, because those are important things. You've noticed things that haven't changed. Some of you noticed the organ pipes. You peeked in here over the last 6 months and went, "Oh, no, it's not a sanctuary. I didn't see the organ pipes." But there they are. Gleaming as they ever are, have. But you've also noticed some things that have changed, right? You noticed the ramp that's over here. You may have noticed that the chancel floor is quite a bit more forward. It used to end right here, but now we've got a whole lot more room. Good thing, because we needed it this morning, I can tell, right? There are things that have changed. The seating has changed a little bit. Now, not the pews. Some of you have gone, "Did we get new pews? Did we not? These look awful close to what was here before." No, they are new. But the seating up front, that is very new. We notice things when we walk into a space. So too did Jesus and the disciples in this account as they walk through the temple. Let me tell you a little bit about the temple. I think it will help you understand what I want the scripture to lift up this morning. The temple was the most important building, the most important place to the Hebrew people. The first temple was built or commissioned by King Solomon. You can read all about its building in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. There's a depiction of it there on the screen in front of you. It was built in the 10th century. And though from that picture it looks massive, it really wasn't. It was about 2,700 square foot would be the footprint. Not too much bigger than a large suburban home. The temple was grand not because of its size, but because of what they used to build it. Gold and cedar and all sorts of things like that. Even more important, the temple was the most important place because of what it contained. In the center part, in what is known as the Holy of Holies, was the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of the very presence of God amongst his people. This was the center of Hebrew life. And you may be aware that because God's people disobeyed and rebelled and struggled to follow God, God gave them over to the consequences of their life. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. The heart of the presence of God amongst the people was destroyed, and the people were themselves sent into exile. In God's mercy, he called them back. You can read about this in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. He called them back to Jerusalem, and as a part of their coming back from exile, they built the temple again. Here's a picture of what it might have looked like. Now, there's an interesting response about this new temple given in the book of Ezra. And I want to read it to you. I think it should be there on the screen as well. Many of the priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of weeping. Isn't that interesting? There was such a sound, joy and weeping mixed together, that you couldn't discern the two. I wonder whether there might not be a similar dynamic this morning. Certainly, I feel joy, but I recognize for some of you, this space that was the space for your wedding or something like that, when you walked in, you went, oh, because change is hard. I just wanted to acknowledge that and say you're not alone. That's been the truth of God's people all along. The most important thing to recognize about this second temple, the one built as the people came back from exile, is that it no longer contained the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God had been lost and was not returned to this space. Now, many years later, King Herod the Great took the throne in Israel. This is the Herod you hear about in the Christmas story and in the Nativity. He was a terrible, terrible man. He's the one who ordered the execution of all infant boys 2 years and under simply because he was trying to get to Jesus. You know that story in the Gospel of Matthew? King Herod the Great took the temple and he renovated it. It went from having the footprint of a large suburban home to that which covered 35 acres. This is the project that the disciples and Jesus are walking through as they are commenting about what they see, what they notice in the Gospel of Luke. Just like you this morning, the disciples are being blown away by that which is new. They might appreciate some of what they see, and they certainly don't other things. And what I want us to consider as we start here is what they notice, and consider what we ourselves notice as we return to this space. Not unlike us, the disciples moved amid a renovated space meant to honor God. But I want us to make sure that we notice the right things as we gather together again. So can we pray before we come more fully into the Word together? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for drawing us into this space anew. Thank you for those with whom we gather. Thank you for your promised presence here in our midst and the gift of your word. Lord, there's all sorts of newness around us, yet you are the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so would you help us through your word and by your spirit to see you again, that we might be changed, transformed, filled, and sent in the name of Jesus. It's in that name that we pray. Amen. If you've got Luke in your mind's eye, the first thing I want you to understand is that the things we first notice and value are not necessarily the things that Jesus himself notices and values. Is that scene still in your mind's eye or open on your lap? What did the disciples notice as they walked through the temple? They noticed the structures all around them. The scripture says that they noticed the stones that were beautifully adorned, likely with jewels or gold or something like that. And Jesus' response in verse 6 suggests that they also noticed how immense the stones that built the walls were. Nobody could miss that. The people noticed the structures, but what did Jesus notice? Jesus noticed the people. At the outset of the passage, Jesus was not looking at stones. He was not looking at jewels. He was looking at people. He was looking at people making their offerings. And even more, he noticed this poor woman who was offering a great, great sacrifice. Jesus noticed people and honored them much more than he noticed the structure. That's important for us this morning. We're coming into a renewed structure. And we might be tempted to think, okay, this is God's house, right? How wonderful that it's adorned the way it is. And it is. But let's never mistake God's house. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, picks up on the values of Jesus, values that point not to structures but to people, and offers counsel to the church, counsel that's appropriate for us today as well. And so I want to read another passage together. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Love it for you to take out your Bible. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's page 1144. Now, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, the church that is in the midst of conflict. Part of their conflict involves who they identified as their primary teacher. Some of them went and say, well, I learned from Paul myself, so I'm better than you. And others said, I learned from Apollos. Apollos is better than Paul, right? Others, you know, these kind of people, they kind of found the third way and said, well, I learned from Jesus. Top that, right? There's this conflict in the midst of the church. And Paul uses kind of the analogy of building to address that conflict. I want you to hear what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do you notice? Verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Consider the way Paul lifts up the great care with which the church was built. Again, using the analogy of a building or a structure, we can think about the care that went into this place. Some of it you are aware of, it, much of it you are not. Like, who's sitting back there? Larry, right under your chair are seams in the wood floor. Now, they didn't just put those seams together. They used some sort of herringbone technique that when I went and looked, I went, how in the world, how do they do that? They took great care to seam that wood together. There was great care into rebuilding the organ. There were three people in here for 4 days, rebuilding it and then tuning it all day long. If we who were working here had to hear this, drove me nuts. But they were not going to settle for anything other than precision. Much of what you don't notice, don't see, but was a big part of this project is wiring and technology, things that are in the floor that if it works right, you'll never notice it at all, right? I often tell Bill, that's his job. If things go wrong, we all look at Bill, right? If things go right, no one notices. There's great care put into all of this. Look at the trim work near the baseboard and the floor here. As one who loves caulk, because caulk covers a multitude of sins in my home, there was no need for caulk here. The precision is clear. And recognizing that will certainly cause us to, at least for a few months, enter into this space with great care, right? We won't want to mess things up. We'll want to keep it looking as new as we can for as long as we can. But here's my question. Will we care for our life together with the same intent, with the same hope, with the same love that we would care for this space? Again, look at verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves, the Greek word there is a Greek plural. That's, if you have an old translation of the Bible, it might say, don't you know that you are God's temple? And a lot of people have misunderstood and said, God lives in me. Yeah, kind of. But that's not what that passage is saying. That passage is saying, don't you know that you y'all, if we lived in the South, right? Don't you know that you yourselves, don't you understand that you, the gathered body here to worship God, is the place in which God dwells? It is not so much the building, as grateful for it as we are, it is the gathered assembly of God's people. And for that, we are called to care just as much as we might for the building, really even more so, don't you think? I mean, acknowledge, all the work that we've done has been about people. You know, why did Herod renovate the temple? Herod renovated the temple because he wanted to make a name for himself. It was a political move. He wanted people to see him. Why did we renovate this space? Because we wanted to point at ourselves? No, because we wanted a space that would engage and involve everyone. It's why we made the space more accessible. It's why we added the ramp. It's why we have chairs up here. Because if you haven't met Scott Gremmer, right? Scott Gremmer is not sitting in the back, are you, Scott? Scott wants to be right here up front. And as God's people, we need to make space for that, right? We renovated this space so that we could engage our church family more fully in worship. Do you see all these people up here? I think I counted 3 or 4 who aren't with us on a regular basis. This is our church family, playing the bells, playing instruments, singing. And it's one of the ways we glorify God together. Part of this project was about updating technology. Because even though some who mostly worship with us online now, they would desperately love to be here, but they can't because their body won't allow them. Some of them are here, but others are still at home. And so the upgrades in technology and the coming lighting that's not yet here, it'll help that. It'll help that because it's about God's people. This work is nearly done. Nearly. I'll tell you what's left in a minute, but nearly done. But the hard work, the work of building this place in which God's presence resides, this work of caring for the assembled people of God, that continues. You might say that's just beginning, and that indeed is the hard work. And so let me just put a few thoughts in your head. As we rededicate this space, what would it look like for us to rededicate ourselves to the nurture and building of the body of Christ in this place? Like, think about it this way. Before we did this renovation, If you sat in the pews, you would have noticed that there was some pencil drawing on some of the backs of the pews. Remember that? I'm sure we will work hard to make sure that our children don't go drawing on these pews, at least for a while, right? We'll just kind of care for one another. But will we work just as hard to introduce our children to Jesus, to nurture them as young disciples, to pray for them, to guide them? I mean, I hope you all would volunteer. That's probably not going to happen, but how about this as a first start? If you don't yet know one of these kids that walked out of here, what about committing just to learn their name, to greet them on a Sunday morning, to care for the body of Christ in that way? And here's another one. One of the things we did was we added a humidifier to this space because my skin was getting, no, and it wasn't about me. It was about the organ. We want the organ to stay in tune, and so we added this humidifier to this space so that that could happen. And yet, we will still, multiple times a year, spend significant dollars to tune the organ as we should. But will we tune our heart, our spirit, to the Word of God as we gather in this place? Will we come in the midst of a world that is polarized in all sorts of different ways, where we come with our defenses up, would we come lowering them and saying, God, all I want is you. Teach me, tune me, help me to be the person you want me to be. You think about it, great care has been taken. First, to get all these musicians up here, right? And then to arrange them in such a way where there's a beautiful harmony. Will we, with the same care, arrange our life together so that there is a beautiful harmony as well? As the scripture says, when we sin against one another, going and admitting our fault, will we offer forgiveness? Will we seek reconciliation so that when the world hears the noise coming out of this place, figuratively, it will be beautiful? Last one. Certainly, we will work and hope that as we gather, each one of us will be filled up, that our needs, our sense of spiritual and emotional needs might be filled up so that we could be sent out in a renewed way. But be careful. Be careful that you don't enter into life together with a consumer mindset, treating the church as if it is a spiritual dispenser of spiritual goods and services, and if the music isn't quite what you like, or if the sermon isn't as good as you expect, or the people don't care for you in the way that you think you should, you go somewhere else. It's the way the world has taught us to live, but that's not who the church is. We are the covenant people of God. And so we enter into life together, not seeking to consume, but to join one another in seeking Jesus, in taking hold of mercy, in exhibiting love here and beyond. Serious business. Look at verse 17. There's a strong, strong warning, not against writing on the pews, but against bringing harm to God's temple, we, the church. You know, Jesus was right. When the disciples noticed these stones, I mean, if you go to Jerusalem still today, you can see them. The Western or Wailing Wall is a remnant of these stones that we're talking about. When the disciples saw these stones and they looked to Jesus and went, "Do you notice? Wow!" Jesus said, "So what? There's going to come a time very soon when the stones will be thrown apart and the temple destroyed." He was right. The Roman Empire destroyed the temple in 70 AD. But Jesus also said this, "I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it." May we give ourselves not to a building, but to one another. God's house, that's you and I. not this space, as grateful for it as we should be. And so let's be grateful, but let's look where Jesus looked, at one another as we build life together. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for all that we enjoy, for this space, certainly, for the way it allows us to include more and more people, that even those who have very real challenges might be able to join us in new ways. Thank you, Lord, that the space enables us to share the talents and the gifts that you have given to people in this congregation even more freely and with intent. We're grateful for this space, Lord. But would you help us not to fall for the idea that this space represents the place where you reside? For we know that your word tells us you reside in the midst of this community, in our relationships with one another, in the ways that we pray for each other, challenge each other, forgive each other, love one another. And so, Lord, would you help us do that hard work, that you, Jesus, would be glorified. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.